Movie, film, 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 film,
because we are happy to be back. You're listening to Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's a podcast where we pick flicks and decide if they're movies or films. I'm Nate, and do you like pineapple?
And I'm Terrell, and I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's Brokeback Mountain.
Yes, it is.
I haven't even seen that movie, but I know that quote.
Yeah, it's like the most famous line from it. Do you like pineapples?
Do you like pineapple?
Is that from...
Hey, people change. Express? Sometimes they like pineapple, and then sometimes they don't. That was a paraphrase one. Yeah, it's from Chungking Express.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of pineapple talk.
Yeah, that's like at the beginning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. We're doing happy together. I thought you were going to say, like, I hope you're happy because we're together at the beginning, and then you just said we're back.
Oh. I don't know what I was going to say at the beginning, honestly.
That's fine. Well, I can say now that we'll be talking about Happy Together after we chat about some movies we watched recently.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you watch Brokeback Mountain. You quoted it, so tell me about it.
It was my first time watching it. I'm super late to the party, to the sad and gay party, but now I'm sad and gay. It was really heartbreaking to watch. I kind of knew the spoiler alert, that one of them was going to die, but I didn't know which one. And also, I didn't know that the story spanned like a long time, like 20 years or so. And so it was just interesting to watch these two men in love who couldn't be in love. That's such a like normal like gay story, but it does take place in the 60s in Wyoming, so like they just couldn't be together. It was just not acceptable, and I loved the performances in it, even though I couldn't understand a lot of what Heath Ledger was saying, like his choice to like kind of like mumble his dialogue. It's a good choice, but
I've seen scenes from that, and he's got like marble mouth.
Yeah,
it's part of the character.
Yeah, it's part of the character.
Did you have subtitles?
No, I didn't have subtitles. Oh. I was just like with my the speaker, like, what is he saying? What is this? Like, I had to like look up like what his last line was, because I was just like, I bet it's real important, but I didn't understand it. Cool. But yeah, it was really sad. But I loved it. I was happy I watched it. It took me how many years? 15 years? I'm 15 years late.
I still haven't seen the whole thing.
Still haven't seen it?
So I'm even later.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah, it's certainly a movie I plan on watching at some point. I don't know.
What's the week I would watch it? Because I had planned it out to watch it. So I was like, okay. So I didn't watch anything last week. I was like, okay, so let me make sure I watch Brokeback Mountain this week.
Yeah, getting in some queer romance.
Yeah, getting in some queer romance.
I'm usually good at incorporating things I watch into the podcast week themes. Full disclosure, we are recording this on Monday because of Thanksgiving. So a little less time to watch stuff. And I've gotten sucked into some TV shows that won't be discussed because it's a movie and film podcast. Very cinematic TV, though. Mm-hmm. So I just watched two movies, and one was a holdover from the coming of age theme last week that I meant to watch. I guess it was the Brokeback Mountain situation for you. I just knew if I didn't watch Dead Poets Society now, when I was doing coming of age movies, go another 20 years not watching it.
Yeah.
It's also sad and gay, not as gay as Brokeback Mountain. Not explicitly gay, definitely subtext.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, all I knew about it was the standing on the desks reciting Walt Whitman scene.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yeah. And that happened, but also like a lot of really sad, devastating stuff happened. And I thought it was going to, I thought it was supposed to be this super inspirational movie. And it was about how Robin Williams' character, the teacher, inspires like these boys, but it was rough. It was not fun. Yeah. Well, actually, there were fun parts. But yeah, it's it wasn't really what I was expecting.
Right. It was more serious Robin Williams. One of those.
Yeah, and much less Robin Williams than I was expecting.
Oh, okay.
Some, I thought he was the main character, but it focuses on the boys.
Oh, that's what it seems like.
Ethan Hawke is good as one of them.
Hmm.
Little baby Ethan.
Wow, I had a really small week. I watched pretty much everything that I'm going to talk about yesterday.
Nice.
So, yeah, I had a triple feature. The first was Brokeback Mountain, and then I finished the night off with Monsoon. Monsoon is a 2019, like, romantic...
time travel? Sci-fi?
No, it's a drama. It's about this guy who family escaped from Vietnam when he was like a kid, when he was like six.
Drama.
Yeah, and then 30 years later, he comes back to Vietnam to like explore where he grew up, and none of it seems familiar to him. And he has one of his childhood friends like guiding him through it, but he also meets this. This American man out there, and they have like this romance. And after the heartbreak of both Brokeback Mountain and Happy Together, it was nice to see something gay and sweet. Because usually the story is like one of them dies, or they just never get together and they're not happy and it's sad. But this one was like, no, they're just going to be chill and sweet together.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's nice. And it stars Henry Golding and Patrick Soya. Yeah. Henry, you put that man on my screen for 2 hours doing nothing. He's just gorgeous to look at. And he's really talented as well. He's really good. I would recommend checking it out. It is on VOD. You can watch it on like Amazon or wherever. That's where I watched it. And yeah, if you're looking for something nice, gay, and romantic, and also has like really nice shots of Vietnam, I'd recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't. I don't think I've ever seen a movie set in Vietnam that isn't set during the American war there.
Mm-hmm. The war, there is influence of the war there, though. They do talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, we devastated that land.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That it's unfortunate.
It's still the topic, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think I've seen any Vietnamese movies. It's always about Americans in Vietnam. Or British people.
Yeah, he's...
So yeah, might check that out.
Yeah, Henry character is British, and then there's the American character, and then some Vietnamese characters, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I only watched one other movie, and it's like, if this was a normal week and I had my shit together, I would have not had to sit here and talk about Patch Adams, because that would be a movie I would just like, okay, I watched that and I don't need to bring it up on the podcast.
Right.
But all I watched was Dead Poet Society and Patch Adams. So I'm here today to speak to you about Patch Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Patch Adams?
No, I've never seen it.
Robin Williams. It's more of him. It was a recommendation from a Robin Williams fan in my life. He plays like a doctor who has a sense of humor that isn't traditional, and he's learning medicine, but also like he's all about laughter being medicine, and like doctors should treat their patients like human beings, and not like science experiments or whatever. Based on a true story, and it's the sappiest of sappy based on a true story stuff, but also it's just like 2 hours of Robin Williams being a funny doctor doing funny doctor bits. And there's scenes in it that reminded me of Joker, like before the gun fell out of his lab coat. Because he's a clown. He becomes a clown at times, and he is just a clown. So yeah, it's real cheesy, full of like easy tropes and cliches, but also you gotta love Robin, and also Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it, and I didn't know that those two did a movie together, and they're my two. Those are my two favorite actors that killed themselves, probably. So to see them both in a movie about cheering people up, it's that was nice.
Right.
Patch Adams. The woman in that, I don't even remember her name, but she looks like Julia Roberts, and that was weird. That's my other
They couldn't
comment.
Get Julia Roberts, so they got she was Julia good. Roberts lookalike.
She was good, but yeah. Patch Adams.
That's it. I think that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Really only had what, 3 days?
No, what's gonna happen, because we'll record our next episode like on the usual time we usually record on Thursdays, it'll be we'll have a bunch of movies we'll probably have seen in that time.
Yeah,
because it's even more time. You can look forward to that.
Yeah, I have more that I was going to watch for this week.
Yeah, I thought I was going to do a Wong Kar-wai week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you haven't seen In the Mood for Love yet.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
Yeah, I want to hear you talk about that.
I was thinking about watching it today, but a lot of Happy Together, like I felt I was still digesting it. And he's, you know what? I'm going to save these thoughts.
Okay.
Until after the trailer. Let's hear it. Happy Together.
Are you fine? Are you ready to talk?
Happy Together is a 1997 Hong Kong romance directed by Wong Kar-wai, starring Leslie Cheung and Tony Leung Chui Wai. I should have looked up their names before I started reading them. The title is inspired by the Turtles song, which is covered at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Chung. Yeah. So what I was saying before the trailer... Wong Kar-wai just beautiful images that just last. Like, it's a movie where after it ends, you're still thinking about specific things you saw in that. And then other parts are creeping up. And I just watched it one day after another,
mm-hmm.
Consecutively.
Same.
And I had completely different experiences watching it both times, and I'm excited to watch it a third time and a fourth time. Like, ooh.
Yeah, they
I'm
were. They were
to talk about it.
Yeah, but there were also, things I didn't pick up either.
Yeah, but also I know there's like whole layers that I'm not going to be able to speak to because I just watched it twice in 2 days.
Yeah.
I think I got enough. I think I got enough for the podcast to last. But if you're a big Happy Together fan listening to this, tweet us at Movie Film Pod. Tell us what we're about to miss. I'm sure there's also some cultural references that we miss.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually reading about, because there's like some political stuff with the handover of Hong Kong and the death of, I forget his name.
The leader?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah. Deng Xiaoping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is shown on the news at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like with Parasite, I had to Google and research all the stuff about Korea in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have the Wikipedia page open, but I missed a lot, sure. When did you first watch Happy Together?
I first watched it in college. I don't remember. I think I might have been like a freshman in college, and I stumbled upon this and Chucking Express because of Tumblr.
Oh, it wasn't in a film class. You just watched
them? Yeah.
Oh,
I
that's
just watched
cool.
them. Yeah.
And I can see how these would be on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the GIF or the image was?
I remember for Chucking, it was the scene where he's in the grocery store looking for pineapples, yeah. And it's like really green looking.
Yeah, the color. Oh man.
The director.
Why doesn't every movie
color?
Look like this? Because it's color, obviously superior to other boring looking movies.
The color, the exposure, and like the movement,
mm-hmm.
like the way he like moves, like space, is done really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw it in college, and I fell in love with it, and it became a favorite of mine right away. I was just like, holy cow!
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I'd never heard of it beforehand, so it was just like a new experience for me to see this love story between two gay Chinese men,
mm-hmm.
that you don't see.
Yeah, a bit of a triangle.
But yeah, a bit of a triangle.
Or like a shape that has a lot of different sides if we're considering all the lovers had by.
Yeah, Wong Kar has a way of like changing the story, or like just adding in like a different perspective of someone, mm-hmm. like more than halfway through Happy Together, someone else takes over the voiceover.
Yep.
And not like the other lover. So mm-hmm. you're just like, huh? It's real interesting like how he does that.
Yeah, that actually that moment was where the movie opened up for me. I was enjoying it. It was good, but also I was looking at the time that was left and was like, "Am I just gonna have to listen to these people shouting at each other?"
Yeah,
getting back together. Is this the whole movie? They just get back together and then they fight and then they get back together. But then it was just like. It just like expanded and went in directions I didn't see coming, and just added a bunch of elements that I'll get into when we get to that part.
Yeah. Honestly, on my first watch, I don't even think I picked up on the triangle that much. I just thought that they were like getting close because like they were both alone and so they were just like friends, but then like watching again I was like, no wait, there's something way more than just them being friends here.
Yeah. Yeah. Special friends.
Special friends.
All right, should we start?
Yeah, let's start. Happy Together.
Happy Together begins with close-ups of the passport.
Yeah.
Which becomes a
passport.
Yeah. An important prop, object, symbol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get the title card. Happy Together.
Mm-hmm. Happy Together. We learned that it's we also learned that it's May 12th, 1995. So the story takes place in 95. The story spans
has the date
years.
On the screen?
On the passport. I had to like pause it on the passport. Where when they stamp the passport, it's 12 May 1995. Yeah. Okay. And that's in color. This movie does this thing where it switches from black and white to color.
Mm-hmm.
Very just seamlessly, and so like that first sequence of the passports in color, and then it goes straight into black and white.
No, we get a little bit of color first.
Okay.
Hope and Wing's looking at the lamp, and Lei Yufei's looking in at himself in that dirty mirror.
Yeah.
Very dirty. He's wearing just his underwear, but mm-hmm. I noted the second time his necklace is his keys. He's got his keys on his necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this movie deals with like people not having a sense of belonging. I mean, they're from Hong Kong. They're in Buenos Aires on the opposite side of the globe.
Yeah.
And they're gay men in the world.
So yeah.
There's definitely not a great sense of belonging being offered. So I thought it was interesting that he's wearing the key on his neck.
Okay.
And Po Wing suggests that him and Faye start over.
Yeah.
That's his line. Let's start over.
Let's start over.
So then they start over. They have sex.
Yeah.
And that's when it goes black and white.
Yes. We get a little voiceover that says, you know, that they've been in a long-term relationship. They've been on and off. And whenever things get bad, Po Wing will say, let's start over. And Faye
mm-hmm.
can't say no, pretty much. He can't deny him. He can't leave him. So they start over. And this time starting over meant leaving Hong Kong and going to Argentina.
Mm-hmm. And they have planned to visit the Iguazu Falls.
Yeah.
Because the lamp they was looking at depicts those falls.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping Wing bought it. And they said, "Let's we'll visit it together." So we get... This attempt to visit the falls that doesn't work out.
Po Wing said he could read the map, but he can't read the map at all. So they get lost and they both end up like really angry at each other.
They have this plan to get to this place and they can't get there. I found that meaningful. Just the fate of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in an argument and they got to start over again, or they're ending it again.
They're ending it again. Po Wing plays this little prank where he tells Fai to get out the car and push mm-hmm. and he goes to push and then he does that thing where you like drive off a little before you stop. Yeah. They're just antagonizing each other.
Yeah, and then we slip back to color for a little bit, just for the first shot that for me is just like, holy shit, it's this bird's eye, slow motion, colorful shot of the Iguazu Falls.
Yeah,
like from above, it's like mysterious and like majestic.
Yeah. And gigantic. It's like a massive waterfall. Colors,
like, it's colored like bluey and green, and it has this
brown,
this like cosmic quality to it almost.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit with that shot for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And that's that place that they can't get to.
Yeah. While they are hitchhiking because their car broke down,
and back to black and white.
Back to black and white. We get a little voiceover where Fi says Poing called him boring, said they should take a break, and that they can start over again later. So they've separated.
Yeah. They end up getting some jobs to get some money.
Fi does.
They both get work.
Yeah.
Different types of work.
Different types of work.
Fi, we're calling him Fi. Is that how it's pronounced?
Is it?
I don't know. I was just reading the subtitles.
I'm not 100% sure if it's Fi or Faye, but I think it's Fi.
Okay. We're going to stick with Fi.
Okay.
So Fi is a promoter for a tango bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it attracts a lot of Taiwanese tourists. And Poing is where his work is sex work.
Yeah, he's a sex worker.
Sex work is work.
Yeah.
And he brings a lot of the clients to the tango bar.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just have this scene of them like passing each other but not really acknowledging each other. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Poing is doing much better because he's out partying with a group of guys, and Fi is working and drinking. Lots of working and drinking for this guy.
Yeah. Well, he's stuck in this place without money to go home.
Yeah.
Got to work, and then you got to drink to cope with that reality.
Yeah.
Tango on the accordion. It's all accordion, the tango bar. Yeah, people dancing just on that checkerboard floor.
Yeah. You see some tango?
Tango dancing.
Mm-hmm. Poing kisses a man, and then we cut to Fi just outside, like eating a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alone.
And then Poing, he leaves. I like this shot a lot. I like this shot so much. He gets in the car, and it's like a rear view shot, and then you see Fi walk out into the street, and then you just see the camera like pull away. It's driving away, and then inside the car, the camera pulls back even further, and you see Poing sitting in the car smoking a cigarette.
Yeah,
and he doesn't.
A cool guy car ride moment. It's a Frank Zappa song that plays throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look back until like it's a like safe enough distance to where he won't be seen looking at him, but he does look.
And then we get an establishing shot with a little bit of color just outside Fi's apartment.
The hotel.
Back to black and white. Super loud lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Just
it's always very loud. Very loud. There's always arguing.
We never see the people that live in his building not yelling and arguing.
Yes. There's one scene in this whole thing where there aren't people yelling in the kitchen.
Is that when they're dancing?
That's when they're dancing. Yeah. Somehow they got it's probably some late at night in that kitchen. Yeah.
It's probably very late at night. So we're back in black and white, and Hopo Wing's calling, and the only phone is down in the lobby. So Fi's gotta try to hear the person calling him. They end up meeting up, and guess what? Hopo Wing wants to get back together. Let's start over.
Yeah, let's start over. He's like, I just wanted to see you. Mm-hmm. And Fi is like drunk. He's drunk and angry.
Yeah, they end up arguing.
Yeah.
Fighting. Really judgmental of how Poing spends his money.
Yeah, because he spent all his money as well. He said, I can't go home. You spent all our money.
Yeah.
Why do you call me over here to show off, to show me how like well off you are?
Right.
Yeah.
they later they end up making up, and Poem gives him a watch as a sign, a symbol of
Of trying to like get back into his good graces. After, you know, Fi told him, like, hey, I don't have no money, he was like, so here, take this and sell it if you
sell
want.
Sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a stolen watch.
Yeah.
He stole it from one of his clients. Because he gets a little beat up.
Yeah, and the next scene, you see he has a black eye and a busted lip. Yeah. And so he has to ask for it back.
Yeah. And then there's this sequence
on the bus.
There's this whole scene on the bus where they're just shouting at each other.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're just.
This was the moment in the movie where I was like, okay, is this the whole movie where they're just gonna keep shouting and then being drawn back together and then?
Yeah. They're just very volatile towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, it kind of makes sense. Cool. They're each other's kind of only friends.
Yeah.
In a foreign country together.
Yeah,
it's a pretty terrible situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. So he gives him back the watch, and then there's like this really like flirtatious cigarette light.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. This shot, it's from, they're outside the tango bar, and the shot, the camera is inside the tango bar looking through like a glass panel. And there's like a painted sign on the glass, so we see like a little bit of that. It adds a little bit of color in the frame, so we're seeing like through the glass there's some reflection and light, and it's the cigarette being lit. Poing asks Fi for a cigarette, so he gets out the one, and they do the thing where they light the one cigarette with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some slow motion.
Yeah, while he's lighting his cigarette, he's just trying to make eye contact with Fi. But Fi is not really like paying him any mind at this point. Tells him to not come looking for him, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because he shows up the next day.
Yeah.
And he's got a little more than a black eye. He's like blood dripping down his face.
Yeah, his hands are like also bloody.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's trying to just like he collapses into Fi's arms and they just hug for a moment, and then they go to the hospital.
You go to the hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, waiting in the hospital, we get the repetition of the first line. Let's start over.
Yeah, right there.
Then car ride home from the hospital. We get some color again.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why the color pops, because he makes you like go like a while without any color, and then he just does all the colors.
Yeah, he does all the color. But it's really, like, not like, even saturated.
But it's not in like a Tim Burton sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, not as bright. Very saturated, but not as bright. Or maybe more contrast, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very, like, concentrated color. Like, this is, like, it's like he uses very heavy yellows and greens.
Yeah, which isn't usual. Isn't typical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we get a shot that's referenced, I feel like, a lot. Whenever I see Happy Together online, it's usually the scene where they're in the taxi ride together and he lights Poing's cigarette and then Poing falls onto his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's all very quiet. Nothing is said.
Then they get back to the apartment and to the viewer's delight, we're going to stay in color now.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I've only watched this twice. I can't make similar to Sin City, but not at all similar. I can't make sense of why certain things are in color and certain other things aren't, though I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know the meaning of it.
I get why things are in color in Sin City, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm still talking about Sin City.
Sin City.
That podcast. That I went through something.
Yeah, you let it out, though.
Yeah.
Five bathes Po-Wing. He's bathing him.
Oh, we get a couple of things he's doing. Tucks him in at one point.
Yeah, he tucks him in. They talk about the waterfall lamp and how Po-Wing thought he would have threw it away. No, but obviously that means that he still cares or it still has meaning to him. And he's like, when I get better, we'll go see it. And Fi's kind of just like, we'll see. You know, he's not too hopeful on it,
right.
Giving their pattern.
I like the scene where he's downstairs in the communal kitchen cooking. And of course, the young neighbors are there.
Yeah.
But he's really caring for Po-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Who does recover slowly.
Yes.
That's there. But in the meantime, he's going to try to really get things going again.
Yeah.
It's a small apartment. Beautiful set design with like different wallpapers on each wall. And it's a dingy apartment, but it looks great on film.
Yeah.
And the way it's set is there's a couch on one side and a twin size mattress on the other side.
And
they're each on one.
Yeah, but they're not sleeping together.
But Po-Wing's trying to share a bed.
Yeah, he's trying to. Yeah, at first he like smushes in on the couch, and Fi's just not with it. He's just like, "Hey, it's too small. We can't do this. Are you gonna sleep here or are you gonna sleep in the bed? Like, you pick, and then I'll go to the other one." So then he gets up and he goes to the bed, and then Po-Wing follows him there. His excuse is the bed is too small. He's like, "What do you mean? All right, I'll just sleep on top of you."
Yeah,
and so.
He's got the arm. He's like hooked in with his arm.
Yeah, he's trying to like hook him in, and he's like moving his hand, and he's like, "Hey, careful with my hand; it hurts." So he finally just gives up.
Yeah. But then Po-Wing tries conjoining the bed and the sofa.
Yeah.
But Fi makes him separate it. Get those away.
Yeah. When he comes home, he's like, "Notice anything different?" And the next cut is just like, apart.
And the sound, you get the sound of it like scraping on the ground.
Yes.
Then we get another similar to going to the falls, though I just don't remember where they were or if it's even said where they're heading. But they're out in the cold, crossing this bridge. But it's so cold, they end up turning back.
Yeah. I almost feel like Po-Wing did this on purpose.
Hmm.
I don't know why, like he knew that, you know, maybe not, because it's not like he got Fi sick and then he took care of him, because he got Fi sick and still made him take care of.
Yeah, the next scene is Fi sick and Hopo Wing's like, "I'm hungry, go cook." And then he's down in the kitchen with the blanket now. It's so sad that he still does it.
Yeah, sad, because he does snap. He's like, "Are you even human right now?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see that I'm like, I'm shivering, I have fevers, I have chills, like, and you want me to cook for you? But he does it.
Yeah. We never get the scene of Po-Wing saying, "Thank you so much, I really appreciate all that you're doing for me."
Yeah, there's no
that scene's missing. But we do have them going to the racetrack.
Yeah. And Po-Wing wins. He wins.
Yeah.
There's
he recognizes someone when he's going to collect his winnings or going to the bathroom. It's probably a former client, I'm thinking.
Maybe. There are a few cuts like that where I feel like they're kind of like insinuating cuts where something happens and then it'll just cut to something else.
Oh, you think they got together in the bathroom?
Maybe. Something. It's kind of like... I think we passed it, but it's like that scene where Fi's in the bath, where no, Po-Wing is in the bathroom, and then Fi walks in, and then Po-Wing looks up in the mirror and sees him, and then like there's this like weird like fade to black, And then when he comes back, Po Wing is leaving the bathroom, and then he goes to like his John, to the white guy, and the white guy's just like, "What took you so long?"
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like it's kind of like an insinuating cut that maybe something happened, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, all we get is he goes to the bathroom, and then it's a cut, and then the next thing is like a moment of recognition from afar of some other person. So
yeah,
I believe it. I like the way the guy at the racetrack gives out coffee. He's got to like walk around with the coffee on his stomach.
Mm-hmm. Probably just like tips it over a little.
Yeah. So I love how he shows time passing here, and Po Wing and Fi rekindling yet again.
Mm-hmm.
They start tango dancing in their apartment a little bit.
Oh, wait, there's a little bit more I want to talk about before we get to that part, I believe. There's the scene where, and I talked about a little bit of Wong Kar's coloring, but there's the scene where Fi is sitting outside his work drinking, and like the lighting is like red, orange, and then green in the distance. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that beat up Po Wing walks in to his job.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wait. Or am I jumping ahead?
I think, okay, so they start practicing tango dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the part where they're full on tango dancing. Oh, no, yeah, it is. Okay, so my thing's first.
Okay, go ahead. First. I'm sorry.
There's the dancing in the apartment.
Yes. Yes.
And this is how they show time passing and that they're back together. Mm-hmm. Is that they start practicing in their apartment, and then we cut to like time lapse of the city, and then back to them dancing, but this time they're in different clothes and they're in the kitchen, and they're more passionate. It's more passionate dancing than it was before the time lapse.
And then they start kissing. Fi has learned how to dance. He's learned how to tango.
Yeah, so then they go to the tango bar, and Fi sees Po Wing's old client and boy, and he smashes the bottle on his head.
Smashes the bottle, and I love that we don't see it. We just hear like the people screaming and gasping.
Yeah, we cut to outside the bar, and we just hear the sound, the reactions.
Yeah,
very. You were never really here.
Yeah. And it cuts to Po Wing calling his job.
Yeah.
And then being told that he's that he quit his job, and then meeting him at the bus stop.
Yeah. So he needs new work, and he finds new work at a Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he meets Chang.
Yeah. And this is where he gets a new voiceover.
Yeah, Chang hijacks the voiceover.
Yeah.
I'm not a big voiceover fan usually. Don't mind it at all in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, you kind of need it. And some of my favorite parts of this movie were voiceover. Well, I guess I just, the ending is just, we're not there yet, but the voiceover heavy ending is just masterful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So for right now, Chang, a co-worker at this Chinese restaurant, now has the voiceover.
And yeah.
We hear about Fei working at the restaurant through Chang.
Yeah.
The next section of Fei's life is now seen through a new character
who
has very good hearing and
yes.
Listens to all of Fei's phone calls with Po Wing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. He notes that he doesn't know who he's talking to, but he sounds polite, and whoever he's talking to, he cares for a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we also learned that similar to Fi and Po Wing, that Chang has run out of money and is stuck here in Buenos Aires. And is trying to save up money to get out.
Yeah, and we learn I think at this point Chang is hanging out with Fi a little bit after work. Mm-hmm. And then this conversation, we learn that Chang has a family, but he doesn't tell them where he is. Yeah. And he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And he's not going to return to them until he figures things out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Fi feeds him some dumplings.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now back at the apartment, more conflict.
Yes.
it's a mess. Hoboing ransacked the cupboard and then is denying. He's like, shows his bandaged hands.
Yeah.
He's like, what did I do with my mouth?
With my mouth, yeah. And so, yeah, he denies it. And then in the next scene, we actually see him doing it.
He does it, yeah.
Yeah, just trifling through his stuff. But he's looking for his passport. His passport that we saw Fi take earlier when he undressed him when they got back from the hospital.
Yeah, and our next scene, Chang answers the phone when Poe calls Faye's work.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to know who he was talking to. Because he was talking to Po Wing, and then he's like, hold on, I got to do something. And then he came to the phone to be like, who is this? He heard a guy's voice. And so now he knows that Fi cares for a guy. Like the guy, the person he's spending all this time on the phone with is another man. Yeah. So that gives him a lot of information, yeah.
Yeah. Gives Po Wing some misinformation, though. And some fuel for jealousy.
Yes.
He suspects that Fi is sleeping with Chang.
Yeah.
So they're going to argue. Jealous.
Yeah, they're going to argue.
And Fi's like, wait, what about you?
Yeah, who have you slept with?
You were a sex worker.
Yeah. He eventually kicks him out in his underwear. Just kicks him out. And then we get this really beautiful rooftop scene. It's really beautiful.
Fi's out washing the roof. And it's so orange. Him and the roof. And then the sky is so blue. And it's that blue and orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the sun is just soaking.
Is hot.
Yeah.
And he does this Po-Wing, like, pours water on Fi's body and then kind of like drinks it off of his body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really gorgeous. And they we see some kids playing in the streets.
Yeah.
And also Po-Wing looks up at the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So now Po-Wing's recovered at this point.
Yeah.
Bandages are off.
Yeah.
So now he can go out.
Yeah, he can go back out into the street.
I'm not happy about that, though.
Nope, because when he comes home, the house is empty. Mm-hmm. And that worries him.
And he's actually jealous.
Yeah, I think he's really scared that he's going to lose him again. Mm-hmm. Even though they're so volatile towards each other, he's still scared that he's going to leave and not come back.
Yeah.
But he does come back with cigarettes.
Yeah. He gets home and Fi's just staring at that lamp. That Iguazu Falls lamp. I want that lamp, by the way.
It's a nice lamp.
With the waterfall like moving somehow with the it's mm-hmm. got like the motor it's like, rotating.
Yeah,
it's like
turning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the shots in the movie kind of look like those kinds of lamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in an interesting way. We get all those cigarettes.
Yeah, but he's dressed up. And so he's just like, why are you dressed up? And he's like, I haven't been out a while. So I wanted to dress up when I went out this time. Yeah. So this makes Fi so jealous that in the next scene he goes out and he buys like a 50 pack of cigarettes so that Po-Wing doesn't have to go out at night.
Yeah,
to get him to stay. And this really angers Po-Wing, and he knocks all the cigarettes on the floor, just swipes everything onto the floor. Yeah.
Then we see the guys at the restaurant playing ball outside on that cobblestone. More just delicious sun. And we focus on like the shadows that's cast on the cobblestone while they play. Mm-hmm. Buffet isn't really hanging.
No, he's not being very sportsmanlike. Sports. Yeah. He doesn't have sportsmanship. He gets very angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And Chang's like, look, watches him leave.
Yeah. And the next scene.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Gonna say he makes this whole meal in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Downstairs. By the way, when you're listening to this, it will have been Thanksgiving yesterday. I just want to say I'm so thankful that I've never had to have a communal kitchen like that.
Oh yeah.
Especially like two floors downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. Oh, it's gonna be Thanksgiving, Happy Thanksgiving, and all that. And I was watching Brokeback Mountain, and I was like, oh man, this would have been a great choice because there's a Thanksgiving scene in there. Yeah, they have Thanksgiving in there.
Yeah.
With some turkey cutting and all.
Stuck with Lady Bird.
Yeah.
So yeah, he makes like this whole meal, multiple plates, brings it upstairs. And Po-Wing's so ungrateful in this moment. Demanding that Fi returns the passport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the argument, right when he comes up with this food. The first time I watched this, I was really annoyed with Po-Wing most of the time. The second time I watched it, I was much more on Po-Wing's side, much more sympathetic to what was happening, going on with that character. And I think it's like because Fi was the one that started off with the voiceover and we spent most of the time with him.
I was
positioned with him, but I could really see how they both are very flawed.
Yeah, they're both antagonizing each other. They're both very insecure. You think
it's really fucked up that Fi's stealing
his passport.
Yeah,
you know, trying to like control him. Like even the thing where he like bought all the cigarettes is like really manipulative.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he won't give him back his passport. Po-Wing goes out again. He's going out more.
This is
unless
I think this was the argument that does the relationship in.
Yeah.
Po-Wing leaves on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
The water looks gorgeous, and it's like the opposite.
You're talking about the lonely boat ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, you skipped a bit. I have a few things. Po-Wing goes out, and Fi starts to play Mahjong late at night, which means he's not going home anymore. He's staying out late, and Chang notices this, that he's no longer, you know, rushing out of there and, like, cooking a meal and all that. And then we get some black and white scenes where Fi confesses to us that he didn't want Po-Wing to recover quickly.
Right.
Because
he was happiest when Po-Wing was injured.
Yeah, he was happy. Those were happy days for him.
Yeah, I wrote down he should have gone the Phantom Thread route and just like occasionally poison him to keep their love alive. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, and then usually when Po-Wing would go out, we would see him return eventually. But there's one time where he goes out and we don't see him return.
Right, we see him on the boat. Are we there yet?
Fi's on the boat. No, it's actually Fi.
Really?
Yeah, it's Fi on the boat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Fi on the boat.
They're like sideways.
they have a big argument about the passport that leads into a physical altercation.
Mm-hmm.
And Po Wing storms out, and then the next scene is the really lonely, lonely, lonely and sad boat ride.
Yeah. But Fi's making new friend. Him and Chang are bonding.
Yeah, and, once Chang notices that, you know, he's very observant. He's a very observant character, and he listens well. So now that he sees that Fi is, like, no longer how he was, he's like, hey, you want to go out for a drink?
Mm-hmm.
He starts to move in a little bit.
Yeah, and they play more soccer with their coworkers, and mm-hmm. we hear that they win all the time.
Yeah,
which is nice. They get some W's, which is mm-hmm. cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fi's really hanging. He's much different than before.
Yes, things are happening.
Yeah, and then. There's an invitation to go to a movie.
Yeah, Chang.
A female coworker invites Chang to the movies.
Yeah.
But Chang hangs out with Fi at the restaurant instead.
Yeah, he says she's too easy. And then he says he likes his women's voice low. Yeah,
the voice is most important for him, which is consistent with this character being all about sounds.
Yeah.
And then he likes that low voice.
Yeah, and then he asks Fi, like, how does he like his women's voice? And right. Fi's just like, I don't care. So they go out this time, and I think it's the last night, right?
No, they go out a couple times, and then one of those times we have this conversation where it's introduced this idea that Chang, rather than taking photographs to preserve his memory, he records people's voices, and he finds mm-hmm. that to be more honest.
Yeah, that is actually the last night that they hang out together.
No, it comes up before that, and then and is put into action later, because then there's the scene where they're talking about the lighthouse. At the end mm-hmm. of the world. That's that's their last, Chang's last day.
Mm-hmm.
He quits.
Yeah.
He made enough money.
Yeah.
So now he's going to go. He's got a map. He can read it.
Read it.
There's this lighthouse on the tip of Argentina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also see Chang care for Fi. We probably skipped over it a little, but I think the first time they go out, Fi gets really drunk.
Yes.
Vomits. And we see that that Chang takes him home, undresses him, and puts him to bed.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, that was
nice. So now they're out because it's Chang's last night.
Yeah.
And Chang's got that voice recorder.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants his photograph.
Yeah.
Which is a voice recording.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, apparently this lighthouse, the end of the world, people say you go there and you let go of your past troubles. So he said, I'll listen to it there. And then I can release you of your troubles.
Yeah.
So he gives Fi the recorder and goes to the bathroom or goes to dance or something.
Yeah.
Leaving Fi alone with that recorder to leave a message.
Yeah. And, it's a really great scene where Fi can't even get words out. He just starts to cry into the recording.
Yep, just sobbing.
And that's the recording that he leaves him. It's just mm-hmm. him sobbing.
Yeah. And then get more time lapse of whatever the Buenos Aires equivalent of Times Square is. We see that.
mm-hmm.
A lot of speeding up and slowing down of film
mm-hmm.
here, playing with speed and time. So now Fi's, he's out and about.
Looking
up in bathrooms.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a little bit more about the goodbye scene.
Okay.
In the goodbye scene, they don't really know how to say goodbye to each other. Like, they're both in the bathroom. Fi is again throwing up. And so at first they just shake hands, but you can tell like they don't want it to be over. And so Fi's like, close your eyes. And he's like, you know, you look like they do this whole thing. And then there's this moment where the camera is like, before they shake hands, it freezes.
Yeah.
And then it does. Yeah, it freezes like at a few points. And then they actually go in for like this hug. And then Fi lets us know that, you know, the only thing he was like, I don't know if it was because we were close, but the only thing that I could hear was my own heartbeat. I wonder if he heard it too. Yeah. And that's where, yeah, I guess I didn't catch that on my first watch, but on my second watch, I was like, oh, okay, so like this goodbye meant a little bit more because like, his heart definitely was like beating.
Yeah,
definitely. But yeah, now
he's got a hole to fill.
Yeah,
or maybe a couple holes to fill.
Yeah,
he's got some bathroom hookups, a theater hookup.
Yeah. I love in the voiceover.
Oh wait.
I love in the voiceover while this is happening, he realizes that he's no different from Po Wing.
Right. It's all loneliness. This was the behaviors in Po Wing that he resented, and now he's in the same situation, and it's because he's lonely, not because I don't know what the alternative is, but yeah, it's out of loneliness.
Yeah. And so now he understands a little bit more, I suppose.
Yeah. Then we learn a little bit more about Fi's financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for his dad's friend and stole money from him, and that's how he funded the trip for him and Boeing from Hong Kong to Buenos Aires. And he's been trying to save money to pay him back and get back home to Hong Kong.
Yeah. And we see he has a quick payphone conversation with his father, who probably says something not nice and then hangs up on him very quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't really work out.
Doesn't, yeah.
He's trying to apologize to his dad and tell him what he's up to, but nah.
No, so, he ends up just writing him a letter.
Yeah, phone call doesn't work, so send in a Christmas letter. And December in Buenos Aires looks like July anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like middle of summer.
It's sweaty, it's beautiful, orangey, yellow, and it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Yeah, there's a Christmas scene in Lady Bird also, and we're doing Christmas movies next month, so we kind of have a streak where it's going to be six Christmas movies, and I'm going to have to think of what the complete opposite of that is for January.
I feel like Christmas and Thanksgiving go hand in hand because they're so close together holidays, a lot of times. Yeah. So. Fi is working at a slaughterhouse now.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to mention in the letter, he mentions, because he can't be hung up on in writing a letter, he does open up to his father about his homosexuality.
Yeah.
And also about his theft, about his criminality.
And he just hopes that they can be friends and that he will give him a second chance. Yeah.
Yeah, so now he's got work in a slaughterhouse because it's got money. And
he
can readjust his schedule to Hong Kong time.
Mm-hmm. Which means he can work all night and sleep all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like the worst, most gruesome job, but it pays.
Yeah, there's a shot of him walking through the hall, and it's all the meat hanging.
Yeah.
And it's like very narrow, and he can't really get by without making contact with the sides. Yeah. It's very, that's a good shot.
Yeah,
and there's always dawn. My favorite shot in the movie involves the slaughterhouse later.
Yeah.
So,
Po Wing is calling. He wants his passport back. He still doesn't have it.
Oh, first the upside down Hong Kong.
Yes.
in voiceover, we learn that Argentina is the exact opposite end of the earth as Hong Kong. Yeah. And then he says, I wonder what Hong Kong looks like upside down. And then we get to see some shots of Hong Kong upside down.
Yeah, it's really nice shot, nicely shot too.
Oh, and then actually here we have it, the shot I was referring to before. It's he's hosing the blood at the slaughterhouse. And it does the same slow motion thing as the waterfalls, but it's just a hose hosing blood off the floor. And it's just like the mix of the water and the blood, and it's the it's like just the spot where the hose is hitting the blood, making the red like push over. Yeah. And it's like that's what love, like the world is blood and pain and suffering, and then love is that hose just doing a little bit to make it to ease it. That's what I got from that. just beautiful. I think any like 80 people could watch that and come up with 80 different interpretations of what it means, but it's just such a powerful image, and I love it. Yeah. That's what I like about it. You can do your own thing with it. Make it yourself. So Po Wing calls.
Yeah.
Wants that passport back.
Yes.
Fry's not picking up.
Nope.
He wants to give the passport back, but you know
he doesn't want to see him.
Yeah, if he sees him, they're gonna restart their cycle. And he doesn't want to go through that again.
Nope. So he calls again, but Fi has left.
Yeah, he made enough money.
He made enough money to move away, and he leaves his Poing's passport on the table in the room.
The room, yeah, he gets it, but and then he's just alone in that empty apartment.
Yeah.
Before leaving Argentina, Fi's finally gonna visit the Iguazu Falls.
There's a little bit of Ho Wing just like being alone and sad.
Yeah, we're like cutting back between them. He's finally going to the falls, and then Po Wing is back at the apartment alone.
Yeah, he's like bottoming out pretty much. There's we get that really nice scene. Yeah, there's that really nice dance scene where Po Wing is like drunk at the bar and he's dancing with this man, but it makes this cut that of him dancing with Fi. So
I think it's in the mirror you see him dancing with Fi.
In the mirror? Okay. So
it's like a reflection shot. So he's dancing with this man, but while in doing so. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like having sex with someone and picturing that you're having sex with someone else, but you're dancing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Because now he's alone. He sleeps outside of the of the job.
Yeah. He is going to fix the lamp also.
Yeah.
Fixes the motor and that. Gets it going again and just starts bawling.
Yeah. He's hugging that cover. And he's crying. He's in that place alone.
Yeah, meanwhile, Fi made it to the falls, and it's gorgeous, and the shot is set up to mirror the image on the lamp of the two people at the falls, except Fi's all alone, and there's some voiceover where he says he shouldn't be here alone. It doesn't make sense. It's supposed to be two people here.
Yeah, it feels like there should be someone else here.
And just this whole last section just really ties everything together so well, and very satisfying and beautiful because the beauty of the falls, and then you see the lighthouse at the end of the world with Chang.
Yeah.
Who's going to play that recording.
Yeah.
Of just Fi crying.
Yeah. He's like, I couldn't make it out. He didn't even say anything. It sounded like someone was sobbing. I love this part because it's like they just miss each other.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a common thing in Carr's work, where lovers just miss each other.
Mm.
And so Chang, because of like how his flights is set up, he comes back to Buenos Aires for a night, And he's hoping to see Fi again, but he isn't there.
No one knows where he's gone. Is.
Yeah. So he's just at that bar they used to go to alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he's wandering around that the night market.
You know? Fi?
Well, first Chang's there. And then Fi also shows up, and it's another missed connection. And he shows
Are
up
they
to
there?
The parents. Yeah.
All right, because I know he's just like, it's nighttime. Chang goes, it's nighttime. Is the here?
Are we here at the night market? He's not there yet. He's wondering he's about not there. It.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's wondering about it. So he's just like, yeah, the night market's going to start. And then we go to Fi, who is in the hotel room. And that's when we learn about the Chinese leader who died in the Beijing hospital. And then he actually goes to the night market.
Yeah. That leader dying prompted the whole
Taipei.
Return of Hong Kong to China. Mm-hmm. The Taipei market. He meets Chang's family.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to this realization about Chang and why he wanders around so freely. Because Chang knows that he has a home he can return to. It's a very sad moment because Fi doesn't have a home to return to.
No.
So when he's traveling, he's not careless. He's not free. He's struggling to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And he can wear a key around his neck, but he still doesn't have security.
He doesn't really have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees his picture, and he pretends like he's going to use the phone to make a call.
Mm-hmm.
But he just takes his the lighthouse picture, and he's just like, I took the picture because I don't know when I'll see him again, but what I do know is that I know where to find him.
Yeah, it's really touching that Fi has this photograph of Chang, and Chang has the voice recording that he prefers to photographs. They each have these memories of each other. But they're not together.
No.
And then the last scene is Fi's on the train listening to the song Happy Together. That's a cover by Danny Chong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see like Hong Kong. And that's why this ending shot is what makes me like pretty certain that I'm missing a whole bunch of stuff, because it seems to suggest this is happening to everyone here.
What's happening?
I don't know. We like zoom out and we have this, or not, it's not literally zoom out, but we see the time lapse of like the train station and all the people passing, and then the streets. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at the city. All these people are here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I take it to suggest that this story is about more than just the three characters that we met.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to make of the last scene, other than he's back home in Hong Kong and he's a little happier.
Yeah, I mean, it is notable the song Happy Together and the movie, pretty sarcastic title. Not literal.
Yeah.
He is home.
Yeah, he's home. And that's Happy Together.
That's it.
That's Happy Together.
Yeah. Is Happy Together a movie or a film?
Happy Together is a film.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's a film. That's a film right there. It's
film down, yeah.
Any more thoughts on it?
No, I just love it, and I recommend everyone watch it. If you haven't seen it, watch Happy Together. Do you have any more?
Just that movies are really missing out on not being this gorgeous. I think Barry Jenkins does it. He's probably influenced, but actually, I saw something where.
Yeah, wait till you see In the Mood for Love. Wait till you see In the Mood for Love.
I saw a thing on YouTube. It suggested like Moonlight and Wong Kar Wai. So I don't know why I'm pretending to have noticed something, but the vivid colors and just be prettier movies.
Yeah.
Not that all movies need to be pretty, but to be good.
And it's not like just like a beautiful shot. Like I think Barry Jenkins has like just like really beautiful shots, but Carr, he'll overexpose a shot, and where it might look ugly, but because it's just like
so much light coming in.
Yeah, there's just so much light, and then he'll make it green. You know, and the way he'll like add his camera movements, it just all works.
And then now really we're black and white, and now we're slow motion. We're gonna have these little 2 second freeze frames just to emphasize a moment.
It's very experimental.
Yeah, that's why it's a film.
Yeah, it's very experimental. Like he's doing a lot of things that aren't common that have become like his style pretty much. And it does turn out to be really beautiful.
So email moviefilmpod@gmail.com. you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter @moviefilmpod. We'd love to hear from you, or just a follow, a like, a rate, a review, a subscription. We're gonna do Christmas. All month.
We're gonna do Christmas. Yeah.
Maybe not the kind of movies
Christmas
think about when you think of Christmas movies, but they will be movies that involve Christmas. I can promise that much. Christmas exists in the movies that we will cover next.
Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know what's in store.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. So, you know, that'll be next week on another episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
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 Yeah.
I don't know why I said another one.
Yeah.
That's three
films. Now we're movie.
It's not movie, film.
Film.